meeting to order.
Trustee Hill.
Here.
Trustee James.
Present.
Trustee Finney.
Present. Well, we will now proceed to approval of the prior minutes.
I move that we approve the.
It's been moved, is there a second?
Yes.
Trustee.
Probably moved in second.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee James.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes. The next item on the agenda is the appointment of the university treasurer. This is a staff position, and I'd like to ask Dr. Westbrook, please present the person that would propose that authority to me.
Good morning again, trustees. As the Board of Trustees members are well aware, previously, Dr. Dean Justman served in the capacity as interim vice president for administration and finance. Given his departure, it is critical that that position that he held would be retained, and currently, Ms. Louise Williams serves in that capacity. In addition, prior to leaving, Dr. Dean Justman served as the treasurer, and given he's no longer here, that responsibility, it is being requested that that responsibility be delegated to the current interim. There is a resolution contained in your materials making such recommendation.
Okay. Any questions? There's a resolution before us, and
is Ms. Williams new? I'm sorry, I don't.
No, she's not new to the university. I think she's been with the institution. Yes.
So you know what goes on.
I know what goes on.
We have a resolution before us. Is there?
I move that we approve the resolution.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
I second that.
It's been probably moved in a second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we have a number of contracts that that will come before the board, and I want to associate myself with these contracts. I met with the staff yesterday for 4 hours to go over all of the contracts to make sure that I understood on behalf of the board these contracts. That is not to preclude the board members, each one, from asking questions, but at least I satisfied myself that these contracts were in order. I'd like to ask Attorney Crowley to present.
Thank you. The first one on the agenda is the Community Mental Health Center, and that is Chicago State received a grant from DCFS, and this would be a subcontract for $761,130 to Community Mental Health Council as a subcontractor of ours. The original grant was for $3,360,708.
I move that we approve this.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
I second.
It's been probably moved in a second. All in favor? Oh, sorry.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee James.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
Next one is a grant also that we received from the National Science Foundation in the amount of $500,000. Underneath that, this would be a $28,000 subcontract to the University of Illinois at Chicago for science, technology, engineering, and math.
Move that we approve this contract.
It's been moved.
I second.
Probably moved in second.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee James.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
Next one is the same grant and another subcontract for the same amount to the University of Illinois at Carbondale.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
I second.
It's been properly moved and second.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee James.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
The next one is a grant we received from the National Science Foundation. It supports urban science, technology, engineering, and math talent. It's in the amount of $240,000, which includes another subcontract for $62,500, which is allocated to Kennedy King College as our subcontractor.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Okay, the next one is the same grant and another subcontract in the amount of $62,500, and this would be to Olive Harvey.
Move that we approve this contract?
It's been moved.
I second.
Probably move to second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Okay, the next one is to HP, and it is the license and maintenance support for our software in the amount of $32,280.
Move that we approve the contract?
It's been moved.
I second.
Second?
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
The next one is for our SunGuard banner system, it's a computer system, and this is a renewal of the software maintenance support in the amount of $267,908.
Being in the software business, I know that not many software companies have been willing to reduce their annual maintenance fees. Have we been able to negotiate anything with them?
There will be a reduction of approximately $25,000 that will take effect with the next year. Otherwise, we're under this particular agreement until 2013.
Okay. I move that we approve the contract.
It's been moved.
I second.
Properly.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
The next one is the SunGuard maintenance agreement for the Luminous Portal Operation Data Store and Enterprise Data Warehouse, and that is in the amount of $38,677.
Move that we approve the contract.
It's been moved.
I second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
The next one is another subcontract to continue the educational services for fuel cells. And this one is in the amount of $36,000.
I move that we approve the contract.
It's been moved.
I second.
Second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Next one relates to our science band program, and this is equipment to purchase equipment for the science bands in the amount of $66,500. And this is a sole source vendor with the attached proposal.
The science band is going to be provided to the public schools?
Yes.
I move that we approve the contract.
It's been moved.
I second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Next one is HK Systems. This is through the library. It's the automated storage and retrieval system. And this is for services for FY210 and the cost of $26,380.
Move that we approve the contract.
Been moved.
I second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
The next one is also from the library, and it has to do with the Blackwell contract we had under the University of Illinois. And this will continue, or allow the library to continue with the program.
What is Blackwell?
Dr. Dean McCrank is here to explain this one.
Blackwell is the dropper we use to aggregate all of our monographic purchasing.
Oh, okay. Move that we approve the contract?
It's been moved.
I second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Next one is with Murphy and Miller. It is to install a new heat exchanger in the Cordell Reed Student Union Building in the amount of $35,187.
Move that we approve the contract?
Been moved.
I second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
The next one is AT&T Network Equipment, and this is the annual renewal of our Cisco SmartNet maintenance support on the computers, and it's in the amount of $79,758.55.
This is to maintenance for all of the computers on campus, or the personal PCs?
It's the network switches in the closets. So it's not actually the right PCs that you sit at, but it allows the network to communicate.
For the contract.
Been moved.
I have an additional one.
Wait a minute. I'm voting.
Gone.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Okay, and one more is we have received a subcontract with the University of Urbana-Champaign, which we will receive money in the amount of...
This is not in the book, right?
Yeah.
It was turned into the Board of Trustees. I'm not sure it's in your book.
I don't think it's in the book.
Yeah, the last two.
The last ones.
I think we have AT&T.
I have Murphy Millen, and then I have...
We voted on Murphy Millen.
Yeah.
AT&T is in my book.
I've got AT&T, and then I've got the 2010 budget.
Okay. Then there's one more that is...
I think that was something that was passed out at the staff meeting, but we don't have copies in the book.
Okay.
I didn't have time to put it in.
Okay, why don't we pass over that item? Let's get it together so that the board has it, and then we'll go to the budget, and then we'll come back to that.
I do have it in my office.
Okay, we'll wait. Why don't we get the, let's go on with the meeting while you...
Or alternatively, we could just address it before we get into the extent.
Yes.
And this is money we'd be receiving. It's not money we'd be putting out.
Then the chair will request the matter to defer this and refer directly to the board. That way we don't have to go. Is there a motion?
Move that we table this, the remaining contract to the board meeting 2 weeks.
Been moved. Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, and that's O on the agenda.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. The next item is the operating budget for 2010. Who's presenting?
Was Ari.
Was Ari going to present this? I don't see her here. I don't know if she's not...
What happened?
Just here.
I'm sorry.
Arlene kind of aware of that the interim director of budget wasn't just here. She was to present these.
She was to present these?
Yes, she was.
Did she leave?
Apparently so.
Her bag is still here.
She looked around.
We'll skip over this then. And so item, we'll skip over this 2010 as well as 2011, because she's got to be here for those, right? That then brings us to the Wendland Brooks.
This resolution, trustees, is for the Wendland Brooks collection, which is referred to as the collection. Since 2006, the university has been in the process of working towards gaining control and possession of the Wendland Brooks papers. Norm Brooks lately was tendered earnest money for the acquisition of her mother's writings in the amount of $350,000 back then. We are now in the process of negotiating a depository transfer agreement, and upon receiving that and entering into a purchasing agreement, we will be paying her $150,000. There is an annual schedule for the remaining balance of $1 million that will be $200 a year.
$200,000.
$200,000 a year, I'm sorry, in annual installments, and that will be coming through the foundation.
let me be clear, because I was not here when this, Trustee Hill, I was not here when this got voted, so I didn't want to take any position on this at all. Are you clear about that?
So is the commitment is clear? There's a clear commitment on her part that now that we're going to get these and that this is going to...
I think there's always been a clear commitment on her part. It's just that we have kind of dropped the ball with moving forward and getting possession of the actual works. And so now we're in the process of finalizing the depository transfer agreement so we can take possession of all of the works and store them.
So that will happen in October?
That will happen.
In the works for...
Yes, in October. And then we're also working on the actual purchase agreement because it was never purchased.
So let me, that's where I got it.
How did we give her $350,000 without an agreement?
I was not involved in that. I do not have any history, knowledge of that.
Do you want me to answer? $350,000 was tendered to her in a check from a private gift to the university of $500,000 for this purchase. It was given to her personally as service money. A depository contract was necessary because of our inability to pay for it outright for full ownership. And so there are two agreements being worked out. One is a depository contract, which is in the interest of the university because of the improper storage condition of the collection. We're anxious to get it moved into proper storage and to be able to start the processing of it. The processing will include, for example, a full inventory, which becomes an addendum to purchasing a group of everything that is actually purchased in the purchase agreement. So there's a preliminary depository agreement and then a purchase agreement. The agreements thus far call for the remainder of the $500,000 to be paid at the time of possession in October, which would then reduce the commitment of the university to $1 million to be paid, as Nancy said, over a five-year installment plan of $200,000 per year.
Good.
Okay.
So then are we obligating the university or are we obligating the foundation?
We're obligating the university.
So if the foundation doesn't raise the money, we've got to pay it?
Either that or breach the contract, which means we would have to return the collection to her.
So what assurance do we have from the foundation that we can meet this annual payment? Since my assumption is that it is not to be paid from our tuition and or our appropriated funds, how do we...
It can be, but that's not the plan by which we hope to be able to raise the money. Dean Rachel Lindsay and I did approach the foundation board and secure the board's agreement to start raising money for the library special collection support in addition to scholarship money.
Have we received any kind of...
$500,000.
Have we received any assurance from the foundation?
In a written form that says, we plan to do this, we commit to raising money.
Oh, other than that, it's written into the foundation board minutes that the board passed unanimously the resolution to raise money for the library acquisition.
And do we know where, how much they've raised thus far?
$500,000.
No, but that's one gift.
Yes.
That was from a sole source.
Yes.
That goes in. I'm clear about that. But I'm a little
bit... The remaining billion is not clear.
I'm sorry?
To answer your question, exactly where the remaining million will come from is not clear. It has to be raised over a five-year period.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. I have a great deal of respect for Gwendolyn Brooks. I know her personally. And I think that her collection is of value. My concern was, as I reflected with the staff, was how do we make sure that we can pay this money? And if it has to go to the foundation, then there has to be something from the foundation, it would occur to me, that would represent that they have, beyond minutes, something that would say that they represent that they have a program in place to meet this obligation, or else I think we as the university get stuck with having to pay $200,000 from sources that we don't know where they'd come from. And given our tight budget, I don't know how we meet this obligation, that's my, my point. If they fail, how do we then step in and make the payments without breaching as council has reflected?
It's my understanding that Dr. McCrank, Dr. Lindsay, and Katya Sam Reardon have agreed, which they represent to me, that they will collaborate in raising this money from outside funds.
Mr. Sam is not here, though.
Can you speak to this, Dean?
Other than the comments that have already been made, we have been having fundraising meetings with Katya Sam, developing strategies for raising the funding. And that process is ongoing. We have several possible sources for the first installment, and that's all I can say at this time.
Well.
I would like to suggest that, again, that we maybe defer this and interim request that something from the foundation that indicates their intention to have a program in place to raise this money. Not that they necessarily know exactly where it's coming from, which that might not be realistic at this point, but that this is a commitment and a task that they have set for themselves with every expectation that they will be able to fulfill it.
Is it the board's intention then to prohibit the use of any university monies per se that are not raised privately to complete the purchase?
No, I don't think that, it's possible that the foundation would not raise the money, and in that case, the university should have a backup plan or another complementary plan to do it, but there ought to be a plan, not just say, oh, they didn't come up with the money, I guess we better find another source for it.
The only thing I can invite the board on is that we're not for the budgetary cuts to acquisitions budgets. The library probably could have met at least half the commitment on an annual basis. In 2 years running, more than $200,000 has been taken away from acquisitions and library budgets, which could have been transferred to such a purchase. But for the instability of our budgeting and the cuts, I certainly cannot provide that insurance in terms of the library's normal assets.
Maybe the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences can.
No, sir. We cannot commit to the level that Dr. Frank just mentioned.
Well, if the university and its members represented here can't do that, then I don't think that the board can do that either. So I think there needs to be a plan in place where it's going to come from. And those who are have an interest in this need to put their heads together and see if it's going to come from the foundation. The foundation's willing to commit to that, that's great. But there ought to be a plan if that's not the case.
So I think that what we're going to do is we're going to table this for right now with the full intention of asking the staff, the deans, both deans, to meet with the provost and to see if there is a plan together with council that we can then appreciate before we obligate the university for $1 million and we don't know where the $1 million is going to come from. I think that the true spirit of making this, fulfilling this commitment, I think is there. I don't believe any member of this board at this moment is sitting here does not have a great deal of respect for that collection and for the author. However, the issue gets down to being, how do we pay the estate the money that we will obligate ourselves for? So if I can have a motion to table the matter.
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee James.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes. I think our budget will go back to the order of business, which will give us the 2010 operating budget.
We would like to request the board to approve the FY 2010
has made a spending plan for a total of $115,173,700. And the internal operating budget book for FY 2010 details the budgets for appropriated and unappropriated funds.
Could you review the highlights of the budget and how it compares to previous years? And
well, there was a rescission $1,090,000 from last year's budget that we covered with the ARRA funds that we received from the Stimulus Act, which brought us back up to our prior level, FY 09 level.
So this is essentially a flat budget.
It's flat.
Are there any significant changes in how the funds have been allocated?
We were allowed to allocate, we just allocated it on the same basis as that final round, so we just rolled forward.
All right, that was the answer. How long?
Okay. Actually, I think we can do that. I hope that we approve the proposed budget as presented.
I second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
The next one is the FY 2011 operating budget and capital budget request. And we'd like to request the board to approve an operating budget request for 2011 in the amount of $8.6 million and a capital budget request of $72.1 million.
The operating budget is an increase. It's not a budget of 8.6, it's an increase.
An increase, yes. Right. This is a part of the operating budget request, additional request.
What was the process for determining the priorities?
We have not changed the priority of this for the operating budget. This has been the priority order for the past maybe 3-4 years. For the operating budget and for the capital budget, we put in the first three that was approved by the governor for the.
And this is the preliminary budget, so this is, you're going to come back again with after you deal with IBHE and stuff.
This is a budget request that will be part of the submission to the IBHE.
That was the challenge I had, Trustee, because I was a little bit concerned about it going this far out and having no flexibility to make adjustments, but I was advised by the staff once this goes in.
Then there's a whole discussion with, and it
makes
them. So once this approved, we will use this as the Bible to submit our operating budget request and capital budget request to IBHE, which in turn IBHE will send this request to the governor and the General Assembly. And this is the process that we followed each.
Okay. I mean, I think that this looks to, I mean, as you've expressed, it's sort of a, this is what we've done before and this is what we're offering, because we haven't had a chance to reassess some of our priorities and to take advantage of the new leadership that the university is getting, to maybe reconsider whether this really reflects the current state of.
I just have one question, and that's about the site improvements on the capital budget appropriation request summary, line 8, for roadways, entrance, and turnaround. I was just curious about that number and how did that number come about?
I'm sorry.
How did the 1.35?
No, that's not Library Plaza. Above that.
Number 8.
Mike Orr speaks at that college.
Right.
Or how we look at the funds or the
determining what we're going to allocate?
Yes, sir. The numbers there are basically order magnitude numbers, and they're based upon just our best guess of what it would take to rehabilitate the services around the campus, and also considering what time of the year they would take place in.
So are you saying that for fiscal year 2011, so I'm saying, seeing as that construction would be done like in the summer months, is that what you're talking about? Like,
yes, well,
considering the time?
Beginning spring in the summer.
Okay, and then my specific question is, when you say road race entrance and turnaround, are you talking about the work to actually put in concrete fixtures or to actually tear up the grounds, or are we talking about patchwork? I mean, what exactly?
Well, a combination of things, sir, but I think what these comport with is the original master plan that we had for the campus under a previous administration, and I don't think that that negates that we can't revisit these things, but again, they were based upon previous commitments that we had looked at.
Okay. So for this year and next, we won't be looking for any new changes to that particular area outside of patchwork. And I know the last meeting with at Dr. Westbrook's, I always forget the name, the campus assembly, you mentioned about the sculpture that was going up and how the process for building the sculpture has delayed any opportunities for us to open back up the turnaround for CTA. And my question to that is, with these repairs, are these repairs going to be leading us, and why couldn't we get this for 2010's budget? Well, I understand that time has elapsed, but will this be something that we're going for this next year?
We made the request last year,
mm-hmm.
and we did not get approval for funding, so we are reiterating our request for 2011.
Okay.
We are resubmitting this request with an escalation factor between 3% to 4%.
Let me just speak to the CTA turnaround. Harlow Davis, who's the general counsel for CTA, has responded to our request to engage in talks regarding the turnaround,
mm-hmm.
and I believe that Dr. Westbrook has informed both Dr. Watson and Dr. Finney that they are now ready to proceed forward. And so we are moving quite rapidly as of yesterday to try to meet their deadlines for their board meetings.
Okay.
So that doesn't mean it's gonna happen tomorrow, but it means that it's moving a lot more rapidly towards.
So we're making more steps towards bringing that back.
Very much so.
Not using, we have great campus safety. However, you know, we're not responsible for what actions happened on Cottage Grove and Burnside. You know, so I'm sorry.
No, we're moving forward very rapidly with getting the buses back on.
Thank you.
Trustee James, I received a email from Dr. Westbrook this morning dealing with the fact that the Chicago Transit Authority was prepared to move forward and invest some $300,000 to affect the turnaround. And my response to her as one member of the Board of Trustees was that if this is going to benefit the students' safety and convenience, then I am 100% behind it. It would occur to me that as soon as the proper documents can be drafted by the Chicago Transit Authority and their board can adopt them, we should move forward with this and get it to the board. We will have to give them, I think, right of easement.
What is this right of easement? We also need to determine the limit of the lease because they want a commitment for a long term.
Right. But my point is that seems to me thresholds that are not that difficult to overcome. And if it were possible to get it all done for this winter season, fall/winter season, I think it would be good. Because I think that there would be a fair amount of construction that has to be done to lengthen the driveways and what have you. So I'm hopeful, just as one member of the Board of Trustees, that this can move forward expeditiously. And thank you for raising it.
Thank you. Just one more question. You said we are trying to make sure that we have whatever we need to have in place before their actual board meetings come about. My question is, how soon after that would we need, is there any resolutions that need to pass through the board?
Yeah, we'll have to give them right of easement.
And how quickly could we get a board meeting put together after we get the results from their board meeting to?
They want to have their board approval before we actually, before Carl and I actually get into the negotiations.
The bond, yeah, court. They have to act.
So I think that it's not really us, but we can, I think, move quickly if we have to. The question is, if they're another public body, it's called a council.
Right.
So they've got to go through their legal department, then they've got to present, the law department has to present the lease and the request for easement and the capital things. They've got to go through theirs. What they needed to know from us was if they went through the process, would we cooperate? And I think that Provost has already indicated to them that we will cooperate now. That triggers their internal staff action. But again, remember what Trustee Jangela said. My hope would be that we would have the turnaround in place for this fall term.
Thank you.
It'll probably be early winter.
Early winter? So we're talking, what, December?
I'm hoping December.
December? Okay.
That's, I'm hoping.
Okay.
That was an FYI. Are we okay on the, Trustee Hill, you were holding forth on this capital budget for 2011.
And this, when do we have to get this into IBHG?
We need to prepare all the documentation by October 15th, 2009.
November?
October.
October, trial.
All right. I move that we approve this, the budget request as presented, both the operating budget and the casual budget for 2011. I would like to ask, though, before we do the next iteration of it or ask for additional approval, to hear a little bit more about the priorities and exactly what each of these things is, including and whether there are any alternatives to that have been considered. For example, on the TV studio, there's been discussion in the past about cooperating with some of the community colleges or others in terms of providing the same kinds of equipment and facilities. So I would like to understand our request for these, that these are the best alternatives, and also that this really addresses all of the needs that we would foresee in terms of what we want to try to accomplish in 2011.
Yeah, let me join with that. I think that the staff will remember, I was real uncomfortable with this because it seems to lock us in. And I think that for the future, what should happen is when we get ready to put capital matters before the board, there ought to be at least two meetings of the budget committee just to go over and get it comfortable with what's going to happen, because you're talking about either creating new fixed assets or maintaining or fixing fixed assets. And these are permanent kinds of actions. And so give the board only a short notice when you're going to make major capital investments in fixed assets, I think puts the board under a lot of pressure to make decisions. And for this matter to have to go forward by October, we have no flexibility. And what it really does mean is this becomes a rubber stamp or a fait accompli, which I think makes the board uncomfortable when it's asked to act at this late hour on something that has to be presented October 15th.
And I think I would add to that, you know, when somebody then comes to us the next, you know, 2 months or 3 months or 6 months from now and says, well, why wasn't this in the budget? We haven't had the opportunity to address those kinds of things. And just from a very conceptual point of view, to really have a full discussion about the university and where it's going and how we're going to, you know, fulfill the programmatic agenda that we have. So
I just have one thing concerning that, and that's highlighted in Dr. Westbrook's PowerPoint about the problems with enrollment management was delayed approval of university budget until May, well after others have published tuition and fees. And I know that we want to become more comfortable with what's being proposed for our budgets, But at the same time, I would like to make sure that if we're going to say, well, we need to make sure we have an extra meeting, that when we have those extra meetings, we get through business a little bit quickly, or set them up to where they're not so far in between, or so that we can make sure that we don't have the same issues of slowing down the process, which would cause our accreditation to come into.
Well, part of that delay was not us.
It's not us.
That was the IBHA and the governor's legislatures.
We have quarterly meetings, and we sandwich into the quarterly meetings about another two full board meetings a year. I think that the issue is, do we have enough time, space during the quarterly meetings for the board subcommittees to meet and to understand exactly what's going on? And I believe that we've been fairly diligent as a board along those lines. I think the resistance of the board generally is that we have no time to reflect because there's a timeline on us, mm-hmm. and we got to vote
right
now. You follow me? And it makes it difficult for the board to feel comfortable when we are presenting things that in effect make us a rubber stamp.
Yeah.
You follow me? And nobody wants to be a rubber stamp. So, but anyway, those are just comments. I think the matter has been disposed of. And let's move.
So with that, I would move that we approve the budget as proposed.
It's been moved.
I second.
Properly moved and second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. That brings us to the audit updates.
In your packet, as internal auditor, it's my role to inform management and the board of any statutory requirement due dates under the Fiscal Control and Internal Audit Act. September 30th is a due date for a report by the internal auditor to management of the internal audit subjects performed during fiscal year 2009. There's a 7-page attachment along with an additional 3 pages of information. The audit subjects are in the first column, but the grid of these pages really is in row order. So the audit subjects are numbered 1 through 16. The report date is indicated. Internal audit practice requires a sample in the fall semester. So that would have been fall of 08, and then subsequently in the spring semester of 09. So the audit reports, as you can tell from the report dates, vary from March all the way through June of 09. But the work and the results and the internal audit enhancements indicated are really a snapshot based upon the sample and testing results back in that time. Subsequent to this report, while we were preparing it and discussing it, a management team has been meeting weekly so that by September 30th, we'll have a comprehensive report of the timetable to implement the suggested internal control matters. If there's any questions on that submission, if not, I'll go to the next 3 items that are on the 1-page agenda. Just some brief comments.
Go ahead.
The external audit costs that the Auditor General bills to us in fiscal year 09, but they pertain to their audit work, field work, for the fiscal year 08 audit cycle. Those costs have escalated by 30% increase. The total bill to us in fiscal year 09, just in the month of June of 09, was $103,687. External audit.
Are other universities experiencing the same kind of increase?
Yes, within a range, but the 08 audit did, the field work was extended by several weeks of intense audit field work time by the Auditor General back in that cycle. And so our increase is probably a little higher than the average.
Okay.
Yeah, and most public agencies, and particularly those that handle federal funds, be they public or private, have been given new audit standards that have to be met. And that just simply means that the intensity of the audits have to be increased. And this is because of the recent matters with respect to large corporations that were involved in activities that were questionable. And it goes all the way back to Enron. And it's really just been progressively changing as the climate of accountability has insisted that when you're a public body, the scrutiny now has been elevated to a level that it was not previously at.
The third agenda item is labeled as athletic funding. It's not a comprehensive summary of athletic funding. It just pertains to the board regulation that is in most public universities. There's a limit to the amount of appropriation spending that can be attributed to the intercollegiate athletic program. For fiscal year 09, that total is $951,325. There's an exhibit that identifies the components of those sources. If you flip through, it's probably like 10 pages back. It's labeled as Exhibit 2, but it includes gender equity waivers, in-state waivers, athletic salaries, unappropriated sources only, and some very limited contractual expenses. So that those four components are identified with each amount, which accumulates to the $951,325.
What is, and you point out that our regulations limit it to 1.5% of appropriations, but what would that number be?
That number is approximately $69,500,000. That's the sum of the general revenue fund and the income fund.
Now, so the controller. What's 1.5% of that number?
$1,042,500. So we're approaching the limit. The reason why on the page agenda I said that the computation is pending, that's because the State of Illinois Controller Report, which is the benchmark that has to be used for the computation, has not arrived yet for the final fiscal year 09 appropriation. But it's in the ballpark of $69,500,000. And so with about $1,100,000 would be probably the threshold for 2010 if we were in a break-even flat budget. So we really need to get a comprehensive athletic budget so I can monitor it and inform you when we're approaching that threshold.
Trustee, I think that I got to find it. When I went over this athletic program, we've been mystified, as to exactly how much money was being spent for the athletic program. But I think that I finally, after at least a half an hour, 45 minutes of probing this, I determined that we spend somewhere around $2 million. And $950,000 is a portion of that amount. But it took me a while to get just how and where the sources were coming from. Now, that's not to say that's enough, but at least for the very first time as a member of this Board of Trustees, I have an approximation of about how much money is being spent in the athletic program. Any other questions?
The fourth and final item on my agenda is the internal audit plan for the current year, which started July 1. It's identified as fiscal year 2010. I'm required by statute to obtain the approval and review by the president prior to the beginning of the year. That was
done with Frank Cole.
On June 23rd, the exhibit 3 in your book lists the audit subject areas that have been identified for review. At mid-year, these audit subjects can be changed somewhat based on technology changes, personnel changes and other risk factors which may elevate some other specific audit area to be reviewed.
Are you comfortable that these are the most important things you should be focusing your attention on?
It's the process for the selection really doesn't lend itself to importance. It's somewhat restricted by what the Auditor General puts in the guidelines. There has to be work performed in 10 traditional identified areas. Those areas are labeled under the audit. They are audit areas. The next column over, there's flexibility with the audit subjects. So what we do as a management team is identify these types of risk factors, changes, technology changes, enhancement. And that's what dictates the audit subjects. And those are of the most important, where they pertain to concerns external auditors have expressed to us. So then that heightens and puts it on the schedule for the audit subject.
Okay. So
that's a yes. Okay.
Great.
But I wanted you to know.
But I appreciate your clarification.
Okay. That concludes my remarks.
Any other questions? Questions?
Just a question. Is there more here from my athletics department?
The what?
The athletics department.
Here?
No, sir.
No fiscal officer.
Any question we may be able to answer?
Well, the question was just about, I know you said earlier that we spent about $2 million in athletics, and I was reading the previous minutes from one of our meetings, and it was highlighted here that Dr. Johnson reported that the men's basketball team is the only sport which generates money. However, $1.3 million is spent for travel. My question is, what is the process for travel arrangement, and how early do they go about requesting tickets for travel, and then also how early do they go about setting up venues that they address, where they have relationships with vendors to make sure that they're not wasting money, especially when you look at it, anybody can take a minute and say, well, if I got $5, I don't want to spend $350 of it on something that just gets me there. I want to be able to spend money on things like recruitment, which is a big issue towards getting top talent. And if you don't visit the schools, if you don't get people wanting to come to your program, you're not going to have a very successful program in the long run.
Yeah, I think that those questions are legitimate questions, Trustee James. During the midsummer, I did have a meeting with Dr. Westbrook and the athletic director. She made some changes to streamline operations in the athletic department. And what was happening in the athletic department over the last year was in instances budget was unclear, how much was available to be spent, the processing of budget requests. Requested amounts to be made to vendors was delayed indeterminately. Decisions were made to say yes, and then decisions were made to say no, which in instances, if you tell a vendor this day it's a go, and the next day it's not a go, it compromised the efficiency. And I'm pretty comfortable of the athletic department and the athletic program. Dr. Westbrook met, and I know at least, 5 or 6 times with the staff, with finance, and with the athletic director to try to make sure that we had a process that would allow us to operate an efficient program. And I believe that Dr. Brown was even included in that meeting. So I think that some of the problems, Trustee James, that you rightfully note from one year to another, I believe that we have over this summer gotten a better operation. I won't say it's 100%, it's got to be tested, but it is a bit, I think, more efficient right now given where we're at.
I'd like to add on that as well. We have met with the athletic director in our meetings to clarify some of our internal control weaknesses. And athletics has traditionally gone through quite a bit of approval processes to spend their money because of their over budget spending. We've determined to give them a purchasing card this year, that will help them get better deals and better prices on their travel, since that is a great part of their budget. We're working on that currently.
And are the individuals in charge of fiscal responsibility for the athletics program receiving the necessary training to keep them from going over or managing the monies so that they do not consistently go over the budget or have to make requests above what was available on the PCAR?
That the PCAR can lends itself well to that. If there is a limit on it, that can be limited to their budget amount, and they can't go over what they what that amount has been determined beforehand. So there are many controls in place that would assist them in properly spending and spending their budgets.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot to mention that Ms. Williams, once she was put in place, added measurably to it. There's a whole matrix that they go through now to make sure that things are going to be handled in the athletic department efficiently. So again, I think that the system may not be yet perfect, but I believe that it will be remarkably improved from year to year, I mean going forward. I might add parenthetically that in many instances, what we found was that the previous president basically would just take money from one place to another place and make things work without the proper processes being in place. And so if you got in trouble, then you just went to the president, and the president says, oh, I got a pocket book money over here, and was thrown into it, rather than having a system through which to be able to make commitments. So again, I think that this is an improvement, but we'll be constantly monitoring this through the Budget Committee and Finance. Are there any other questions? If not, the Chair will entertain a motion to approve. I don't make a motion to go forward. So we're on the
financial report.
In your booklet, you will have our preliminary financial report, which was for the period ended June 30, 2009. The final report will be submitted to the GAAP package, is due to be submitted on September 30th. And our primary financials will be submitted to the external auditors on October 2nd. This report is, as we have included in the past, with our balance sheet information, cash and cash equivalents, the bond proceeds, investment report, accounts receivable and the collection, and our business enterprise report. Mr. Frizzell will go over some of the highlights for the financial reports, and we'll entertain questions at the end.
You could just turn to page 3. I just want to highlight, as Ms. Williams said, the variances in the report. Page 3 will show you the assets, liabilities, and fund equity. I'll start out with the assets, the cash and cash equivalents. There was a change from fiscal year 08 to 09 of $7.6 million, and that was primarily due to a Siemens litigation that had been closed. Line 2 is restricted cash for CIRMA, which is our insurance. Those were held by Chicago State for 2 years, and then they are now transferred to Governor State. That's a 2-year period that each state university holds those funds. So that was a transfer of $2.6 million. Our state and other receivables, there was a $1.7 million decrease, and that is due to the fact that we have improved efficiencies in the financial department. With staff training and development, we've been able to send our bills out in a much more timely fashion to the state of Illinois. If we drop down to the liabilities, again, the performance bonds and notes payable, that is going to replicate up above the cash and equivalents of the portion of the Siemens litigation that was paid out. And again, deposits held in custody of CIRMA, those are, again, the insurances, CIRMA funds that were transferred to Governor State University. And I'd like to go to page 4, To the on behalf payments and in the statement of revenues, there is a showing of change of $11,700,000, and that we're just waiting on a CMS report from downstate, the comptroller's office, and then we go ahead and book those dollar amounts into that revenue fund.
Slow down on that one. Say that again.
Okay. We're awaiting a report on behalf payments from the state of Illinois' comptroller's office. Mm-hmm. So when we get those, again, this is a preliminary report. There's a lapse period.
Hey, that's not okay.
Okay.
So this is what point is, what I wanted to highlight the fact that we have money pending coming from the state of Illinois. Once that gets received, then we'll book it. And then that $11,306,000.
Flat.
That's true. Down to expenditures, operation and maintenance of plant. There was a change of $3.6 million, and that those were primarily due to the Douglas Hall renovation project and the price increases of utilities and higher maintenance associated with new buildings on campus, and that would be primarily the Convocation Center and this building here, the library. Again, the on behalf payments, we're waiting for the CMS report. Capital grants and appropriations changed $2.6 million, and that was a decrease. And this variance reflects the completion of the Convocation Center. That would conclude my financial report. My recommendation would be to approve the preliminary financial report as stated here.
Okay. I move that we approve the preliminary financial report as presented.
It's been moved.
I second.
It's been properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Budget and what we've done in the accounting department. We've made some significant improvements. We've hired several new staff members, higher level accountants in the area, and they are being trained and proceeding with the work very well. We